So I didn't have time to prepare a sermon, but he has passed on his reflection, which I shall read. I've read it once, so I hope I don't hesitate too much, but you understand. Lord, may these words that Jeff has prepared speak to our hearts. May your Holy Spirit encourage us in our walk with you, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This is Jeff's words. As we reflect on our readings in Galatians and Luke, there is a very common link between the two. Each identifies the way we live out our Christian faith, and in so doing, it challenges us even today. Galatia was a Roman province in what we now know as central Turkey, populated by Celts who had migrated from Eastern Europe, possibly as far east as Scotland and central France. Like most peoples of their time, they worshipped numerous pagan gods. Paul, when writing to the Christians in Galatia, made it very clear that there were only two options to the way people could live: living like their pagan contemporaries, or living under the guidance of the Holy Spirit as followers of Jesus. Paul reminds his readers that those who live according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit are no longer bound by the Jewish traditions as had been set out in the law of Moses. Matthew records the how. He records Jesus saying that the purpose for his coming was to fulfill the law given to Moses, but not to abolish it. Jesus' fulfillment of the law was not focused on the legal requirements of how people and the nation had to live. Jesus instead said he had come to fulfill the requirements of how sin was covered at the annual festival known as Yom Kippur. This Hebrew term translates to Day of Atonement. 2 one-year-old goats that had no blemishes were chosen for the ceremony. Prior to the service, the high priest had to sacrifice a bull on his own behalf to seek God's forgiveness for his own sins of the previous year. He then took the first goat, which was sacrificed, and its blood sprinkled on the lid of the altar. This was to atone for any activity that had occurred and had polluted the temple. The priest then placed his hands on the second goat and then sprinkled some of the blood of the first goat onto it. The sins of the people were then confessed onto the goat covered by the blood of the sacrificed goat. The living goat was taken out into the desert and released. We know this goat as the scapegoat. Punishment for people's sin was carried by it. I trust you follow the sequence of all that. Jesus' death on the cross was our scapegoat. Isaiah had prophesied that in God's time, our scapegoat would take our sins upon himself. As Isaiah wrote, "It was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own path. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." Jesus fulfilled this prophecy at Calvary as our scapegoat. Our sins were placed on him. Paul summarizes our cleansing through Jesus in verse 24. "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there." The great cost of our forgiveness behoves us to be faithful. In Galatians, Paul writes, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this command: love your neighbor as yourself." Our theme today: faithful freedom has boundaries. Faithful freedom has boundaries. It is our submission to God the Holy Spirit. For Paul reminds us, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." Luke records Jesus speaking to three people who had said they wanted to become his followers. The first had said, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus' response told him that as followers, it was not always an easy lifestyle. He said, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." He faded away. The second follower, or would-be follower, responded to Jesus' invitation to become a follower by saying he will do it when he'd fulfilled his other obligations. In this case, the man had a yes-but response. Family came first, as he had to be at his father's funeral. Jesus reminded him that a follower's focus was to go and preach about the kingdom of God. He also faded away. The third man's response had family allegiance also. Jesus' response identified his expectation of a follower. "Anyone who puts a hand to the plough and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." He too faded away. The chorus of a song written by Gaze Baba should be our motto. "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back." But Paul has the last word. "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Lord, for the thoughts that you brought to our mind. Help us, we pray, by your Spirit, to live them out as we go from here today. Amen.